بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان، ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد، وأجود من سئل، وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك، والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك، ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر، وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية. والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت، والدين ما شرعت، والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة، وأدى الأمانة، ونصح الأمة، وكشف الغمة، وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him. And we bear witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household and whose followers to the day of judgment. Ameen. Every surah, this Holy Quran is full of treasures. And every surah of the Holy Quran gets its name after an event, a story or a fact that is mentioned in this surah. And this name highlights a very important principle, a theme for the surah, and very important principle for the religion and for our life. For example, just as an example, Surah Al-Baqarah highlights the story of the people of the Baqarah, of the cow. You know, the name cow is a strange name, because in the Arabian, the cow is not an Arabian animal. If Muhammad was the author of the Quran, he would have chosen a more relevant to the Arabian life. A name of an animal more relevant to the Arabian life. He would probably call it the chapter of camel, for example. But it was called by Allah the chapter of the cow because it has the story of the people of the cow inside it. And the story highlights the situation of the people who nag about the orders of Allah. Instead of saying, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, as mentioned at the end of the surah, they say, we listened, we heard the orders, and we are going to obey the orders. They say no. They start nagging about the orders of Allah because they don't want to comply. So they start nagging and ask questions here and there because they want to evade complying with the orders of Allah. As a punishment to them, Allah will make it hard and hard and hard and harder and harder and harder until it becomes very hard on them. If they would have done it from the beginning, when Allah told them to slaughter a cow, any cow would be sufficient, any cow. But because of their nagging and nagging and nagging, they ended up with a cow, such a unique cow with a unique description that cannot be found. And as a result, they had to pay a price for this cow. It's equal, a gold equal to its weight. They had to put the cow on one side and put gold on the other side as a price for the cow. And instead of just picking up any cow, any cheap cow, and complying with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very important concept highlighted just by the name of the surah. When you hear the surah, cow, Baqarah, you remember the story and you remember the concept that we have to say we listen and we obey. And today we would like to explore a very important surah in the Holy Quran, which is called Surah Al-Ankabut. And the name comes, Ankabut, spider, comes from an ayah in this surah, which is ayah 41 in this surah. The ayah says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبِيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. The example of those who resort for support to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the example of the spider that resorts to its house for shelter. Indeed, the weakest house ever is the house of the spider. if they have any knowledge. If they are not ignorant and have any knowledge, the weakest house ever is the house of the spider. Indeed, the house of the spider does not provide any kind of shelter. Even though the name is a house, but it's not actually a house, because the house is needed for a shelter, and this is not doesn't provide any shelter, because it's very weak and very open, and it's web. So the house of the spider, if the spider is dumb enough or stupid enough to resort to its house for support, the spider will quickly discover that this house is nothing but a false, deceiving house. It doesn't provide any kind of shelter or coverage or protection for the spider, because it is indeed, the name is a house, but it is not actually a house. So it's a deceiving thing. By name, it deceives by name, it's a house, but it's not actually a house. This ayah highlights a very important concept, which is that if any civilization or any nation or any structure that is built on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established, it is going to be nothing more but a house of a spider. Nothing but a house of a spider. Anyone who builds any kind of civilization, any kind of nation, any kind of structure on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, it is going to be at the end nothing but a house of a spider. Weak house that doesn't provide any protection or any shelter. Perhaps a deceiving protection, a deceiving shelter, but there is no actual protection and there is no actual shelter. And scientifically, it is very interesting to know that from a scientific perspective, that the weakest house ever you can build is the house of the spider. That is a scientific fact, and it's very interesting. But, you know, obviously, you know, any living being, the weakest house is the house of the spider. That's known. I mean, you could not find any living being that has a house weaker than the house of the spider. But at the time of the revelation of this surah, the non-believers had, you know, a big laugh on this example. They started making fun of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They started saying, what kind of God is this God, the God of Muhammad? He is giving examples of insects. One time, the chapter Surah An-Naml, the chapter of the ants. Another time is the chapter of the bees, Surah An-Nahl. And the third time, he's talking about the flies. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ وَإِنْ يَسْلُبُهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. Allah says in the Quran that if the ones that you are worship instead of Allah, the ones you are relying on for support other than Allah, they cannot create a fly. And if the fly will take away from their food, some, they cannot retrieve this back. And this is another scientific miracle, because science tells us that before the fly will eat the food, it will first spit some kind of enzymes on it to digest it outside. And then after it's being digested outside, it's being absorbed into its body. And once this food is digested outside, there is no way you can bring the food back to its original form. So indeed, it's a scientific miracle where Allah says, if the fly will take away from their food a little bit, they cannot retrieve it back. Even if they open, if they cut the fly open and they extract the material, still it has been already dissolved and you cannot bring it back to its original form. So that's even another scientific miracle that's a challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyway, they did not look at these things. They look at the cosmetic value of the example. He's talking about insects, flies, bees, spiders, mosquitoes. What kind of God, ants? Surah An-Naml, the chapter of ants. What kind of God is that? Doesn't he have better examples to give? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to them in Surah Al-Baqarah. And he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't shy away from giving the example of a mosquito and even smaller than the mosquito. فَمَا فَوْقَهَا means أَصْغَر مِنْهَا. Even smaller than the mosquito. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Believers know that this is the truth from their Lord. This example is nothing but part of the truth that the Lord wants to be delivered to them. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا.
The non-believers, they say, what kind of example is this? Example of a spider, example of an ant. Oh, probably next time is going to be an example of cockroach or something like that. Or example of mosquito. So they were making fun of these examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. They said, what kind of example is this? يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. For indeed Allah guides many people using these examples and misguides many people using these examples. Allah guides people using these examples because they learn the meaning and they learn a lesson. And from the meaning and the lesson, they get guided. If they benefit from the lesson and if they follow the lesson, then they get guided. At the same time, Allah misguides people using these examples because they look at the cosmetic value of the example. What kind of example is that? Insects? We are not interested. So they don't see beyond the outside cover and they get misguided because of this example. يُضُلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضُلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Only the rebellious people who are rebellious against the orders of Allah, rebellious against submission to Allah. Those are the only ones that get misguided by these kind of examples. Believers are smart enough and knowledgeable enough not to get stuck on the outside cosmetic value. And they dig deep, they dive, they go deep, they look beyond the outside surface and they learn from the example and they get guided as a result. But the non-believers rejected the example because of the cosmetic value of the example that it talks about insects and things like that. But the big lesson to learn from the example of the spider, it's a big, very important fundamental lesson, is that if we build our civilization, if we build our existence, if we build our government, if we build our organization, if we build our community, if we build our life, on other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us, has established for us, then the resulting building will be nothing more than a house of a spider. Will be nothing more than a false, deceiving house that doesn't provide any shelter and doesn't provide any kind of protection, just like the house of the spider. Indeed, it's such a powerful lesson to learn if we don't get stuck on the mere cosmetic value of using the spider as an example. It's such a powerful, valuable, very valuable lesson to learn from this verse. And the very next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming this fact that it's worthless building, it is worthless structures, and the one that we are relying on for support and for help are nothing, and they cannot provide anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms in the following verse, which is verse 42, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah knows that the ones that they are counting on and seeking help and support from are nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ. For indeed Allah is the most honorable and the most wise. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So he is the sole owner of Izzah, and he is the sole owner of wisdom. He is the owner of Izzah, for might and honor is all owned by Allah. The true honor and the true might and power are owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the true wisdom is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any kind of wisdom or any kind of might or any kind of power others have, it's all coming from Allah. Allah gives them some. This is all false, deceiving power, false, deceiving izzah. So when we resort to those people who don't have original izzah, who don't have, they get their izzah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are resorting to the house of the spider for a shelter. كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. And it's nothing. It's nothing. Anything else is a deception, is false. It's false, deceiving things that we resort to if we go to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the following verse, which is verse 43, Allah confirms that these examples are used to guide people. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. But who benefits from it? وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. Those are the useful, those are useful examples that we give to people to guide them. But only those who are not ignorant, only those who are believers that are intelligent enough to look beyond the outside surface of the example, benefit from it. Then we come back to this meaning and we ask ourselves a question. What makes the people make such a miserable mistake, such a terrible mistake? Resort to the house of the spider for shelter. What makes people resort to the house of the spider for a shelter? Such an obvious mistake, such a terrible mistake. When you build your life, when you build your nation, when we build our community, when we build our establishment, our organizations on other than Allah subhanahu, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, it is like resorting to the house of the spider for a shelter. So why would people make such a terrible, horrible mistake? Such a fatal mistake. And the answer is simple. Because they have fallen down victims of fitna. The fitnas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا. They have fallen down into fitna. They went down into this fitna. And this surah is dedicated to talk about this fitna, to explain this fitna, and to tell us the way out of all these fitnas. This surah talks about the concept of fitna and how to protect ourselves from all these fitnas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. First of all, what is the meaning of the word fitna? The word fitna means, it's an Arabic word that means tests and the trials by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this life for nothing but to run us through tests and trials, to run us through these fitnas, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can demonstrate who deserves His mercy and who doesn't deserve His mercy. And for those who deserve His mercy, the mercy of Allah leads them to Jannah. Who gets the highest place in Jannah and who gets a lower place in Jannah? This is indeed the purpose for these fitnas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs us through in this life. And not only to classify people into people of heaven and divide people into people of heaven and people of hellfire. No, the purpose of these fitnas are even further than that. It's to rank people, the people of Jannah, to rank them, and the people of hellfire also, they get graded into different levels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al Imran, verse 163, لَهُ هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. People have different levels, different grades, different ranks in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is very aware and very knowledgeable of the details of their deeds and their intentions and everything and their thoughts. So he ranks them according to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even further in Surah An-Nisa, verse 95 and 96, talks about how does he divide people into ranks. Allah says, لَا يَسْتَوِي الْقَاعِدُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ غَيْرُ أُولِي الضَّرَرِ وَالْمُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ دَرَجَةً وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا دَرَجَاتٌ مِنْهُ وَمَغْفِرَةً وَفَضْلًا وَمَغْفِرَةً وَرَحْمَةً وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to tell us and to inform us that He doesn't put people of Jannah all in one rank, but they have different ranks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 95 and 96, Allah says, they are not equal. The believers who don't participate in jihad and the ones who do participate in jihad with their wealth and souls. Allah raised the ranks of those who do, though He promised the Jannah to both. Both are promised the Jannah, but Allah raised the ranks of those who do. But He gave magnificent increases and magnificent rank increases to the ones who do participate over the ones who don't participate. And then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues saying, to divide believers into different levels of Jannah, different levels of forgiveness, and different levels of mercy, for Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. And this is why it was narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in the two correct books, Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِئَةُ دَرَجَةَ أَعَدَّهَا اللَّهُ لِلْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ مَا بَيْنَ كُلِّ دَرَجَتَيْنِ كَمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That Jannah has 100 levels prepared specially for the ones who do jihad for the sake of Allah. Between every two levels is as much distance as the distance between heavens and earth. This is just between every two levels. Now imagine, 100 levels, multiply this by 100 levels, and you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classifies believers into levels. So the whole purpose of this fitna that Allah runs us through is not only to, dis- to separate the people of hell from the people of heaven, but also to rank and to grade the people into different ranks and different levels. This is the meaning, the Islamic meaning of the word fitna. The linguistic meaning of the word fitna is very linked to that. The word fitna means, in the Arabic dictionary, it means to separate gold from other cheap metals that are mixed with it. And how do you do that? It's a mechanical process where you basically heat the gold. You use hot blazing fire to heat the gold, and this is, causes the gold to go under fitna. And as a result, the gold would be separated from other cheap metals. And you can isolate the cheap metals away from the gold. And then you can have a pure gold. And this is the meaning of the word fitna in the Arabic language. And indeed, you can see this meaning when you look at people. From the outside, all humans look the same. Faces, hands, legs, body. But they have different... I mean, how can you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides people into people of hell and people of heaven, and then people of heaven are divided into ranks? Allah subhanahu, if they all look the same from the outside, by, you can see that clearly when two people are exposed to the same kind of fitna. One falls down into the fitna, and the other one avoids the fitna in a very honorable way. Then you can see now the difference between them, that yes, both are humans, but one is from a golden quality and the other one is not from a golden quality. And this is why, you know, we always say that in the Arabic language, we always say that people in Nas Ma'adin, people are made of metals. Some people are made of gold and other people are made of cheap metals. And this will show up. How can we distinguish? By through these fitnas. These fitnas would distinguish who is a made of gold and who is made of a cheap metal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah stating this fact in a very strong way, hammering the fact immediately without any waiting time in the face of the believers, in the face of the people who think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just going to leave them claim faith by tongue or deceive themselves and claim faith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave them like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif lam mim, ahasiba, ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku, an yaqulu amanna, wahum la yuftanun, walaqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim, fala ya'lamanna Allahu alladhina sadaqu, wala ya'lamanna al-kadhibin. After Alif lam mim, in verse 1, verse 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Do people think that they will be left to claim faith without being tested by fitnas? And then the third verse, indeed we have tested by fitnas the ones who came before them. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show who is sincere in claiming faith and who is a liar. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَ. The third verse, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَ سَأَبَ يَحْكُمُونَ. Do the people who commit sins think that they can deceive us by claiming faith only by tongue or by lying to themselves until they believe themselves? Indeed, their judgment is so bad and so ill. They have such an ill judgment that they make such a conclusion. How can they make such a conclusion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you think that Allah will fall down by just speeches or by just by cheap lip service? How do you think that if one lies to himself until this person believes himself or herself? And we have so many people who lie to themselves and who over-believe into themselves. We call them in Arabic al-maghrurin. The people who are deceived about themselves. They think that they are the center of the universe. They think that they are the best people. They think that they are made of a golden quality. They deceive themselves until they believe themselves. And they think very high of themselves, but they are not that high. People, they fall into this kind of trap where they become maghrurin or they deceive themselves. How could we think that for a minute that Allah will leave people thinking that they belong to the golden quality without running them through one fitna after another, one trial after another, one test of submission after another, until Allah shows them exactly what level they belong in and what grade they deserve in the hereafter? How could we think that? And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will run us after one fitna after another until we are aware of exactly who we are. Everything in this life is fitna. Like Allah, so even money and children are fitna. The best thing we have in this life, the best joy, in, you know, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. Money and children are the beauty of this world. And Allah tells us that in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 28, وَعْلَمُوا وَعْلَمُوا Know that. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ Know that your money and children is nothing but fitna. For Allah has the great magnificent reward. And even repeated again in Surah Al-Taghabun, verse 15, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ Allah wants to tell us that your wealth and children, this is not the reward. This is not the enjoyment. This is not the pleasure. This is a deceiving enjoyment, a deceiving short-term pleasure. This is not the true reward. The true magnificent reward is at the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that has this magnificent reward. If you pass the fitna, if you don't fall down into the fitna, then when you come, you will get the real reward, the real enjoyment, the real pleasure, the real fun. Wallahu indahu ajrun azim. Don't fall down for these fitnas, the fitna of money and the fitna of the children. And any good thing that happens to us, and any bad things that happen to us, is also fitna. Allah tests us with both ease and calamities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةٌ وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ Every soul is going to taste death at the end. In the meantime, we are testing you with fitnas, one after another. In both forms, the form of ease and the form of hardship. Both are fitnas. Don't you think that when Allah is giving you ease, that Allah is pleased with you? No, it's a fitna. Allah wants to test you. What are you going to do? How are you going to use the money? How are you going to use the power? How are you going to use the freedom? How are you going to use the extra time? How are you going to use this and that? It's a fitna. And at the same time, the hardship. It's also another fitna from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fitna of ease, the fitna of hardship, both are fitnas. And then the end of the ayah, Allah says, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ To us you are going to return back. For judgment, for performance judgment. How did you perform in these fitnas? Now, the surah starts with Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim happens in 25 other surahs of the Quran, but Allah starts the surah by mentioning these separate letters. We don't know for sure what is the meaning of these separate letters. However, a very strong opinion says that it's a form of a challenge, that Allah is challenging. What is the logic of this challenge? In the 25 locations in the Quran, in the 25 surahs where Allah starts with these separate letters, the Holy Quran is immediately mentioned. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ in Surah Al-Baqarah. Alif Lam Mim, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ Alif Lam Mim, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ All these examples are where the Quran is immediately mentioned after these letters. So what is the logic of the challenge? The logic of the challenge is simple. That Allah is saying, this is the Quran, is made of these alphabet. That is similar to Alif, similar to Lam, similar to Mim. And Muhammad is a human being and you are human beings too. If you say that he used this alphabet to make up the Quran, then why don't you, which are human beings just like him, and have similar access to these alphabet like he has the same access, why don't you come up with a piece of this Quran, just like he did? Actually, he has less access to the alphabet than you because he is illiterate. But let's assume the same access. Go ahead and make a Quran like it. A piece of the Quran like it. One surah like it. No. One surah is too much for you. 10 ayahs like it. No. 10 ayahs is too much for you. One ayah like it. You have PhD. You have PhDs. You have education. Gather all computers. Gather all the knowledge. And sit down. Collaborate together in a very strong way. And try to come up with a Quran like it. The challenge is clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, قُلْ لَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا If they collaborate in such a strong, very powerful way to come up with a Quran like this Quran, they will never be able to come it. To bring it and produce it, which is made of an alphabet. So if Muhammad is a human and you are humans too, he's used the alphabet and you have the same access to the alphabet, go ahead and bring the Quran like it. So it's a form of a challenge. But there are three exceptions here. There are three surahs out of the 25 that Allah starts with these letters, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about the Quran. What are the three exceptions? The first exception is Surah Maryam. كَافْ هَايَ عَيْنٍ صَدْ ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ ذَكَرِيَّ The second exception is Surah Al-Rum. Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم في أن الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين. And the third exception is the surah that we are exploring today, which is the surah of the spider, Surah Al-Ankabut, which is Alif Lam Mim, أحاسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. And the answer to this, scholars came up with an answer. They said that this surah also starts with a challenge. Another form of a challenge, very strong challenge, a challenge of fitness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs us through. And how can we protect ourselves from falling down into this fitna? We can do that using the Holy Quran. So again, it is related to the Holy Quran, but indirectly. But it's another challenge that is related to the Holy Quran. Then the opening statements of fitness and those people who think that Allah will fall down for their deception and they deceiving themselves, claiming faith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to just let them down, go get away with that and give them whatever they think. After this opening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to state three important facts that will help us at the time of fitna. If we remember these three important facts at the time of fitna, we will be able to avoid the fitna in a very honorable way. The first fact is, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Whomsoever is preparing to meet Allah, indeed the time to meet Allah is coming, and He is the most knowledgeable and the most able to hear. And the second fact is, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Whomsoever is doing jihad, he or she is doing jihad for his own sake. For Allah is rich and satisfied and He doesn't need anyone to do jihad. You do jihad, you do it for yourself. You're not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is rich, Allah is self-satisfied, Allah doesn't need any help from us. Very simple fact, but very strong fact. You are helping nobody but yourself. You are benefiting nobody but yourself. You're not bringing any benefits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing jihad, you are saving yourself from falling down into fitna. By staying away from it, you are going to fall down in fitna. It doesn't matter how much you try. This, by doing jihad, we are qualifying ourselves to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are qualifying ourselves to the Jannah. Actually to the mercy of Allah, and the mercy of Allah is the one that is going to take us to Jannah. Other than that, Allah doesn't have, otherwise we will not be qualified for Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that His forgiveness is a wise forgiveness. It's not only a forgiveness, it's not an open forgiveness, it's a wise forgiveness. What's the difference between open forgiveness and wise forgiveness? Wise forgiveness means, wisdom means to put the to do the right thing at the right time and the right place. This is called wisdom. To do the thing at the right time and the right place. Allah is the most wise. So Allah will do the right thing in the right place at the right time. So the wisdom of Allah, this is how we put all the attributes of Allah together. We don't partition the attributes of Allah and think that one is different, is separate from the other. All the attributes of Allah together. Mercy is combined with wisdom. So it's a wise mercy that is put in the right place to those who deserve it. But open mercy, where everyone can go and get the mercy of Allah just like that, even if he or she is made of dirt quality, this just get the mercy of Allah like that. This is such an ill description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala defends Himself against these ill descriptions by saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifoon. He is way above and beyond these ill descriptions that they assign to Him. Open mercy like that, anyone qualifies, it doesn't work this way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does run us through these trials so that we qualify for His mercy that leads us to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our work. We work only for ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created His own enemies. And He is the one who provided them with muscles and brains. Why? To test us. So that they are fitna to us. Any human relationship is a fitna. The husband is a fitna to the wife. And the wife is a fitna to the husband. The friendship is a fitna. The friend is a fitna to his friend. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. We make each one of you a fitna to the other. Even animosity is a fitna. The enemy is a fitna to his to the other enemy. Hatred is a fitna. Love is a fitna. Everything is a fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if He wants, He can wipe away His enemies in no time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muhammad, ذَلِكَ وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَمْتَقَمَ مِنْهُمْ. If he wants, he can immediately wipe them. He can immediately take his revenge from them. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. But he wants to test you with each other. He wants to make them fitna for you to see, are you going to do jihad or not? If you do jihad, then you will save yourself from falling down into this fitna. You will achieve the happiness in this life and in the hereafter. But if you don't do jihad, then you will be slave of them, they will slave you, and then they will corrupt your life. And will make it impossible for you not to fall down into fitna. And this is what is happening, is that we are falling down into the fitna because we don't have the upper hand, we have the lower hand, and the entire life around us is corrupted here and there, and we fall, we come up from a fitna to fall down in another fitna. Then the third fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned clearly, and that ends the first paragraph of the surah, and then moves to the second paragraph, and it will be the end of the khutbah inshaAllah. The third fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is verse 7. From 1 to 7 is one opening paragraph of this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, in this ayah, those who believe and do good deeds, we will forgive their sins and reward them according to the best of their deeds. And this is very nice to remember at the time of the fitna, that the reward is according to the best of your deeds. What does it mean, to the best of my deeds? It means that Allah will take your best prayer ever, multiplied by the total number of prayers that you have done, multiplied by a 10. In other words, Allah will take the best deed ever, multiplied by the total number of times that you have done this kind of deed, multiplied by a magnifying factor that ranges from 10 to 700, according to the depending on the level of sincerity and the level of sacrifice. How generous is Allah? Allah has infinite generosity. Why infinite generosity? Because you give to Allah or you come to Allah with finite number of deeds. Limited, countable number of deeds. Finite number of deeds, you go to Allah. And what's the reward? The reward is infinite time in Jannah. Infinite. So Allah rewards the finite with infinite. And this is infinite generosity and infinite mercy and infinite kindness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very important to remember at the time of fitna. So that you know what kind of price you're paying is nothing. Because such a price is countable. Such a price is a finite price. You can count it. Doesn't matter how much the price is. But the reward from Allah is infinite. Infinite happiness. Everlasting, eternal, happy life. What else can we wish for? Indeed, when we remember that, we stay away from fitna. We don't fall down for fitna and fitna. And we do whatever sacrifices it takes to stay away from this fitna and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين. رد المسلمين إلى دينك الحنيف ردا جميلا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم فليس لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، فقال جل من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على فضله يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الله أكبر الله أكبر.